The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. When you're a healthy Christian, you will desire God's Word in your life. So if to you reading the Bible is a drag, that is not a good indication. I think a real indication of you being a spirit-filled believer is that you are hungry for God's Word.
Health is often tied to appetite. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out it's a very good sign if we have an appetite for Scripture.
Hungry people are healthy people.
This is the day when the lost are
God's Word is a light for our path, food for our souls. It's our only offensive weapon in our suit of spiritual armor. And yet in many homes, it's the most dusty book on the bookshelf. It contains the very keys to the issues of life, yet it's overlooked and forgotten. And so many times we need the help it offers. A well-used Bible that's falling apart is usually owned by someone who isn't. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out the importance of digesting Scripture.
The Bible. I can tell you, I knew nothing about the Bible before I was a Christian. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I'd never read the Bible for myself. I was completely ignorant of it. But on my high school campus, where the Jesus movement was happening, there was a lot of young kids walking around with Bibles. And these are kids I knew. Some of these kids I used to party with and hang out with. And I thought, why on earth would they carry a Bible publicly? That is so weird. It's so insane. And we kind of made fun of them. We laughed at them and thought they were all, you know, collectively one taco short of a combination plate or something, right? So, you know my story. I was walking across the front lawn of my campus. I saw the Christians singing their songs about Jesus. And I sat down close enough to listen in on what they were saying. And for the first time I heard the gospel, that was the day I accepted Christ into my life. So that weekend I had planned to go and do some drugs. And I thought, well, okay, I'm a Christian and I'm just going to go do drugs as a Christian. That's great, isn't it? And I was all alone and I was sitting on a rock and I was getting ready to get high. And that same still small voice that I heard on my high school campus spoke to me again. The Lord said, you don't need that anymore. And I said, all right, God, if you're real, you're going to have to prove it to me, because I don't know if I believe this, even though I prayed and asked you into my life. So I threw my little baggie of pot away and my little pipe, and I said, help me with this. So I went back to school the next Monday, and I didn't know where to fit in. I didn't feel comfortable around my old druggy friends, because they just got high every day pretty much, and I didn't want to be with them. But the Christians were a little too intense for me, a little too much praise the Lord, hallelujah, right? And they were like, praise God, man, I love the Lord, praise Jesus. I'm like, okay, whatever. And so I was sort of in that in-between spot. You know how that can be when you're a brand new believer? And so I'm walking across my high school campus, and some guy yells out my name. I don't even know this guy. He is a Greg. I turn to him, he goes, brother Greg. And he'd be like, brother, your brother, unless you're a brother from another mother, you know. And he goes, bro. I said, yeah. And he's like, I got something for you, bro. And I said, what did you get for me? He says, this. And he holds up this Bible, really big Bible. And it was suede. Back in those days, we covered our Bibles with fur and suede and all kinds of things, you know, so who knows why. But, and it had popsicle sticks glued together in the shape of a cross. Bro, praise the Lord, read it, it's God's Word. I'm like, oh man. So he leaves, and I'm so embarrassed by this Bible. So I shove it into the pocket of my coat, because I didn't want anyone to see that I was carrying a Bible. So I decided to go over to my old friend's house, where I basically used to go every day at lunchtime and get high. No wonder my grades were so low. You get high, your grades are low. So I went over to my friend's house, this Bible that was in my pocket. I pulled it out and I put it in the bushes in front of his house because I didn't want them to see it sticking out of my coat pocket. So I put my Bible in the bushes. I was a very bold witness for Christ, wasn't I? I walked in and I hadn't seen these guys since I'd become a Christian. And I walked in, they said, Lori, that's what they called me. How you doing, man? I said, I'm fine. And they said, what have you been doing? I said, nothing. Where have you been? We haven't seen you. I haven't been doing anything. And so one of them said, hey, man, we got some good pot. You want to get high? I said, no. He said, Lori, what's wrong with you? I said, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. And I'm sitting there for a moment. And I really sense the Holy Spirit saying, tell them about Jesus. And I'm saying, no way. I'm not telling anybody about anything. And I'm just trying to kind of keep it all inside. And all of a sudden, the front door opens up and one of my friends... mom is there, the one who owned the home, and she's holding my Bible. And she says, who does this belong to? I'm thinking, what is wrong with this woman? She has kids doing drugs in her house at lunchtime, and she's alarmed by a Bible? Who does this belong to? Like if it's some weapon or something. Well, maybe it is, right? It's a sword of the Spirit. Every eye in the room went to the Bible, and they went back to me. They made the connection. And I said, that's mine. She said, why? I said, that's mine. What is that, Lori? It's a Bible. What? It's a Bible. What? It's a Bible. I grabbed it. And then one of my friends said, oh, Greg, praise the Lord. Are we going to be a Christian now? I said, no, I'm going to hit you in the mouth now. See, because I hadn't read 1 Corinthians 13. You see, I hadn't read anything. I was trying to hide the Word of God. Well, since then, I found it's much better to hide the Word of God in your heart, right? Not in the bushes, preferably. And that was my first opportunity to share the gospel, which I failed miserably. But it was a reminder of the power of the Bible, the power of the Word of God. And we've talked about things that we did back in the days of the Jesus movement. We talked about how, you know, contemporary Christian worship was born before our eyes, and also how we love to talk about the soon coming of the Lord. We talked about that recently. But one of the big things that was happening back in those days is almost everything we went to was a Bible study. Every service that we would have, we would open up the Word of God. And then there were home Bible studies and Bible studies on high school campuses and Bible studies on college campuses. We couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Let me quote for a moment from that Time magazine article we were referring to a moment ago. And I just would love to see something like this in Time again, where they're talking about what was happening. And here's a direct quote. The Bible is true. Miracles happen. God really did so love the world. He gave his only begotten son. Bibles abound, whether the cherished fur-covered King James Version or scruffy back pocket paperbacks. They're invariably well-thumbed and often memorized. So a real earmark of that last great spiritual awakening in America was the Bible. Okay, so let's go over to Acts chapter 2. This is when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost. And people speak in unknown languages. They speak in tongues. And then what happens after that? Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Peter stands up and says, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Very important statement. Here's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural phenomena is taking place, and Peter stands up and says, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And this makes a very important point. Everything that we do as Christians should be informed by the Word of God. There should be a biblical basis for what we do. So when we talk about making a decision, or should we do this, or should we do that, we go to the Scripture. What does the Bible say? Does the Scripture address this, at least in principle, if not specifically? And so Peter was standing up and saying, this is the biblical basis. Sometimes in what some might call revival meetings or things where there's a lot of excitement, a lot of passion, sometimes things happen that, frankly, are not biblical. And people will say, this is a new work of the Holy Spirit. It's new. Listen to this. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. We don't need a new thing. We want to do a biblical thing. And when God pours his spirit out, we want to have a biblical basis for what we're saying and doing. And that certainly is what happened there. But then what happened after the Holy Spirit was poured out? This is a very important thing. They began to dig into the scripture. We don't read, and after the Spirit was poured out, they ran around like chickens with their heads cut off. And I bring this up because I've seen meetings, sometimes it's on Christian television, where people are screaming and writhing on the floor and yelling and making animal sounds. And people say, this is the Holy Spirit. I don't know what Holy Spirit it is, but I don't see anything like that in the Bible. By the way, have you ever seen a chicken get its head cut off? I have. It happened to me when I was around 5 years old. And I was with my grandparents and we went out to the desert. They had a house there. No electricity. We had to go to the outhouse. You know what that is? Okay. So, and when we were going to have a meal, my grandfather would chop the head of the chicken off and my grandmother would make chicken. So I'm 5 years old. I'm standing there. He takes his chicken. He puts it on a stump. He takes out a hatchet and he chops its head off and the body rolls off and it's running around spurting blood and flapping and the head is laying there on the stump. And I'm thinking, how does that body know where to go? It's almost like the head is going, go right, go straight, because the chicken without a head is coming straight at me. And I still have nightmares about it today. I break out in a sweat when I go by Chick-fil-A. I'm serious, it's horrible. No, but the thing is that's how some people are. Oh, this is the Holy Spirit. Let's just be crazy and insane. No, God gave that power to the church for them to change the world. He gave them power to be a witness.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
We hear from listeners all over the country and from countries all over the world.
Thank you very much, Pastor Greg, for everything you do. Every Sunday I watch online Harvest at Home service from Spain with my husband. Your sermons have been a blessing to us, and we praise God in these difficult times. Even though we can't go to church in person, we give all glory to God for his blessings.
You can tune in to Pastor Greg's Harvest at Home services as well at harvest.org. And if you have a story to share with us, call 1-866-871-1144. That's a special number, 1-866-871-1144.
Well, we're considering the central part God's Word plays in the life of the healthy believer. Pastor Greg continues his message, The Bible and Revival, from his series, Jesus Revolution.
So what did the church do after the Spirit was poured out? Look at Acts 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They dug into the Word of God. Listen, if you want to be a Spirit-filled, revived Christian, you need to be digging in to God's Word each and every day. Because if you don't, you're going to fail spiritually. You know, one thing that will happen if you go to visit your doctor, you're not feeling well, first thing he'll ask, or she'll ask, is how's your appetite? Why? Because hungry people are healthy people. That's how I know I'm healthy right now, because I'm still thinking about pizza, and this is a problem. So that's a sign of health. So when you're a healthy Christian, when you're a spiritually revived Christian, when you are a Spirit-filled Christian, you will desire God's Word in your life. So if to you reading the Bible is a drag, if it's a drudgery, if it's something you dread, if it's something you do in a token way, that is not a good indication. I think a real indication of you being a Spirit-filled believer is that you are hungry for God's Word. You know, when I don't eat, I get kind of cranky. My wife figured this out a number of years ago. I'll just be in a bad mood. I'm sort of snippy. She says, you're just hungry. I'm not hungry. No, you're hungry. And she'll throw a sandwich at me. It works every time. I catch it in my mouth. No, but, you know, That's how it can be. The reason you're not feeling that well, the reason you're kind of cranky, the reason you're kind of depressed, the reason you're lethargic is you need a meal. And I don't just mean food. I'm talking about you need the Word of God. That's why you need to take time every day to open up God's Word and read what it has to say to you. The Word of God is powerful, and I'm amazed at how I've read certain verses many, many times over the years, but how they'll just jump off the page and come alive for me. Do you know what I'm talking about? That verse that just sent from heaven, and it's just exactly what I needed to hear in the given moment. Well, how's that going to happen if I don't open up the Bible? I can't just hold it up to my head and pray it all just makes its way in there. I need to read it. And I need to commit scripture to memory. I memorized scriptures when I was a 17-year-old kid that I still remember today in my 30s, times two. They're still with me, those verses. Like Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of the Lord. In it does he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Blessed is that man. I learned that so many years ago. It's still with me. It still helps me. How about 1 Corinthians 10:13? There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I'm not doing this to impress you. You can do this. We can all do this. Oh, no, I can't remember anything. Give me a break. You remember lines from films. You remember lyrics from the lamest songs of all time. You remember the scores of Super Bowl games going back forever. You remember all that trivia. Don't tell me you cannot remember the Word of God. You just take time to get it into your mind and get it into your heart, and that will never be time that is wasted. All right, well, let's go over to our second passage, Psalm 19, and we'll close with this. And this is just the Word of God telling us why the Word of God is important. And by the way, these were originally songs. They were set to melody. And this one even has a certain cadence to it that sounds a lot like a song. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. That sounds like a song, doesn't it? I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful poetry, but it is actually also the inspired word of God. So here's just a few takeaway thoughts. Number one, the Word of God is perfect. When we say the law of the Lord, we could replace that with the Word of the Lord or the Bible even, because it's just referring to God's written Word. The Word of God is perfect because this phrase means that it is flawless. It is without any flaw of any kind. Now, this is important because we live in a time where things are constantly changing. Culture changes, fashion changes, music changes. Everything is changing before our eyes. Something that's cool today will not be cool tomorrow. Trust me. I've lived long enough to see all of these fads come and go. And all you have to do is look at your yearbook photo. Does anyone ever look good in a yearbook photo? You know, I don't know if they do, but you know, you look back and you think, what was I thinking? Why was I wearing that, right? So these things change. And also in the news, you know, when you get a newspaper, it's dated already. I mean, a newspaper from this morning, well, things have happened this afternoon, and they're happening right now because I get them on my news feed. And even despite that, there's so much fake news out there. You don't know what to believe, but here's the good news. In the Bible, there's no fake news. There's just good news that you can depend on because the Word of the Lord is perfect. And as you open up the Word of God, it can be fresh to you each and every morning. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. The word perfect means it's whole, it's complete, and it's sufficient. Listen, everything you need to know about God is found in the Bible. You don't need to go anywhere else. It's one-stop shopping right here. This is God's message to each and every one of us. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is breathed by God.
Pastor Greg Laurie, with good insight today on A New Beginning on the vital importance of God's Word in the life of the believer. Today's study is from his powerful new series called Jesus Revolution, looking at what set the stage for the Jesus movement of the 60s and 70s and how we can help usher in that kind of spiritual awakening again. There's much more to come in this message called The Bible and Revival, but if you missed any part of today's presentation, you can hear it again by going to our website, harvest.org. You can stream it while you're online or download an MP3 for later, or call us for a CD at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And thanks for letting us know what station you listen to. We want them to get the recognition they deserve for making it possible for you to hear today's program. And then we're excited about making available Pastor Greg's book called Jesus Revolution. Pastor Greg, during the Jesus movement, you were a new Christian yourself. Mm-hmm. Did you have any idea the uniqueness of the season you were living in? Or when did you start realizing you had lived through something rather epic?
Yes. That's a really good question, Dave. And the answer is I did not know. I walked smack dab into the middle of a spiritual revival. You see, I wasn't raised in the church, so I had no real background in these things. I'd never really read the Bible for myself. So when I came to Christ on my high school campus and then went to this church, Calvary Chapel, where the Jesus movement was in full swing, I thought, wow, this is amazing. And I didn't realize that I was in a revival till I started traveling around the country, because I would travel with these Christian bands and speak in various venues. And I was in a lot of different church settings, and I realized, oh, wow. Wow, what we're experiencing is not happening everywhere, but it was happening in some places. You know, revival's interesting. It's sort of like, will you open or close your door to it? For the churches that open their door to revival and open their door to the kids coming to Christ, which in this case were primarily hippie kids, they experienced revival. To the churches that kept their doors closed, they missed it. So it was really a lot up to the people. Do you want to see God work or do you not want to see him work? So it was like little embers blowing, and they would catch here and they would catch there. And many of those embers came together, and it was like a fire, but a good fire spreading across our nation. And we need to see that again. And so I've wanted to talk about it for a long time. So I decided to write a book. And I had a person work with me. Her name is Ellen Vaughn, very talented writer. In fact, she helped me write my autobiography called Lost Boy. She did a lot of research on the time, on the culture, on what was happening around us. And it gives you a greater appreciation of what God did in the Jesus movement, in the Jesus revolution. And then I also weave my personal story throughout the book. And I seek to find takeaway principles in this book that we can apply in hopes that we can see another Jesus revolution. So you want to know more? Well, yeah, got to get a copy of this book. It's free. Well, let me restate that. It's free for your gift of any size. This is not a gimmick or a trick. Some can only give a little. We'll send you the book. Some can give more. We'll send you the book. But whatever you can do, know this. We'll take those resources and use them to continue to get the gospel out to as many people as possible. So again, for your gift of any size, I want to send you a copy of my book, Jesus Revolution.
And we'll also include a copy of a brand new study guide that's been created that undergirds the insights in the book. Isn't that right?
That's right. Yes, that's something special we've prepared for this special edition of Jesus Revolution, and this will help you to dig in deeper.
Well, we'll be glad to send you this special edition of Jesus Revolution, along with a study guide, to thank you for your donation of any size, large or small. You know, it's the investments of listeners that make it possible for us to bring you these studies each day and that help us reach out with the gospel. More than 150,000 people made decisions for Christ through Harvest Ministries last year alone. We're so thankful for the investments of listeners that help to make that outreach possible. So with your gift today, be sure to ask for Jesus Revolution. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California,
800-821-9214 or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And we can take your call anytime or go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, more about the importance of God's Word and memorizing key passages as a part of our spiritual growth plan. Tune in next time for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.